That Naturopathic Podcast. TNP.
Hello there.
Hi, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Michelle Pulbega, naturopathic doctor.
And I'm Dr. David Miller, ND, and we hear your frustrations. This show is for you.
This show is for you if you're feeling like your current healthcare strategy is not getting to the root cause or the underlying reasons for your health.
This show is for you if you've been told that you're fine, but you definitely don't feel very well.
This show is for you if you're walking out of your doctor's office with 1, 2, 3, 4, or even 5 medications without any mention of diet, lifestyle, or a long-term game plan.
This show is for you if you've got several specialists taking care of you, but no one is really putting all the pieces together.
This show is for you if you believe that health should be part of healthcare. These problems have solutions.
We know it.
Our patients know it.
And we want you to know it.
Naturopathic medicine is the solution that you should know about.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That Naturopathic Podcast. I am Dr. Michelle Pulbega, a naturopathic doctor. I am flying solo for a short little something to make you think differently about microbes and pathogenic overgrowth. I have quickly become the princess of parasites and poop, according to some of my colleagues. And a lot of people look to me for resources around parasites and stuff, and I'm happy to do that. But what I found myself several years ago, up until even maybe like a year and a half ago, get trapped in the idea of eradication. And even with things like SIBO, you would get on board and we get so enthusiastic about these things. And then we just want to eradicate. And then parasites became such a huge part of my practice that everyone just comes to me because they want to eradicate. And there is some value in bringing down those numbers. Because if there is an overgrowth or an excessive amount of these inhabiting your system, leading to symptoms and issues with regards to your symptomology, your health, and we can trace it based on your signs and symptoms and testing and all that kind of stuff, yes, we probably want to lower those levels. However, the purpose of today's episode is because I wanted to start speaking about still asking the question why. And I found I wasn't always asking why. I was just looking at the what when it came to these infestations or overgrowths or SIBO or yeast or whatever. And it was so funny. I didn't really put it all together as well as I could have and should have and knew somehow on some level until I actually watched Fantastic Fungi on Netflix. And it's so funny because I heard Paul Stamets speak years ago when I was working through the Big Hair, and he talked about his interest in investigations with the use of fungus and mushrooms to help clean up the radiation from Fukushima. Because mushrooms have this innate ability to help clean up and mop up their surroundings, including radioactive isotopes and stuff, and can help rehabilitate an environment or a forest. If you had like a dying forest, you could put mushrooms in there and somehow the forest can start to rehabilitate itself. Because mushrooms have these incredible properties. They release these enzymes and chemical markers and things like that that allow them to have an impact on the environment surrounding them. And then I remember watching that and thinking, huh, well, what about fungal, because mushrooms are fungus, what about fungal overgrowths that I see in the human system based on testing? What about yeast overgrowth, which is a type of fungus, in people who I see on testing? And then it started to make me think, are these things there almost as a way to mop up other stuff? So yes, the yeast, yes, the fungus, but what's the deeper reason as to why the bodies continue to harbor larger amounts of these within the system than it should? Because most of these things exist in us. Yeast, candida is a natural part of who we are. Different types of, obviously we have probiotics, but we also have opportunistic bacteria. Not all parasites are completely pathogenic. There's a certain level of symbiosis that we can have with a lot of these microbes that we want to demonize. However, if they start to grow outside of normal numbers and start creating secondary health problems, then you start have to start thinking about bringing those microbes down. However, what is the driving force that allowed those microbes to grow outside of manageable and stable numbers? And even in Fantastic Fungi, it goes back to talk about penicillin, which is a fungus, and how it was discovered that it has antibacterial properties because of these enzymes and things that it, like fungus, releases into the environment. It can help eradicate bacteria, which is why penicillin, one of the first antibiotic we ever had, works this way. So it ends up, you put fungus basically with penicillin into your body to help you manage the bacteria. So then again, when I saw that in Fantastic Fungi, and I was like, are these funguses and microbes and all these things a way of helping to try to control other types of microbial overgrowths? And even with something like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, there can be also a secondary SIFO, which is a small intestinal fungal overgrowth. And I was like, well, that's not a coincidence, is it? So I find this area something that we should be talking about more. And then I ended up doing a course recently, and it was talking about protective biofilms and how when we do things like SIBO or parasitic protocols and microbial protocols, yeast protocols, you can see biofilms and get indications of biofilms with certain types of testing. And biofilms are like this polysaccharide coating that is a protective mechanism for microorganisms to inhabit. And they protect this polysaccharide coating when two or more of these bacteria or yeasts or whatever come together, coalesce, and then they kind of work together. They can share DNA, they can share resources, et cetera. But then this polysaccharide coating, I almost like in my mind's eye, envision it like a biodome around them, so that if you have an antibiotic, which has a receptor and it's meant to recognize protein structures or markers on the external surfaces of bacteria, and that receptor is meant to interact with those structures and proteins and markers on the bacteria so that it knows that it's interacting with the bacteria and then it knows what to eradicate. If you have this protective film or protective mechanism between the bacteria and this quote unquote antibiotic, then you have this barrier that is interfering with the ability for a receptor to be able to engage with a surface protein or a surface marker. So then you don't get that eradication. So often when it comes to microbial protocols, we want to weaken and break apart these polysaccharide biofilms so that the eradication process can be more effective. And this is also a way that pathogens can start to go into more of a stealth mode and bury themselves deeper into your system by creating these biofilms. However, not all biofilms are pathogenic per se. There is a theory that the body will allow or tolerate certain types of imbalances of bacteria or SIBO or biofilms as a way to almost like protect the host, because it can then behave as a bit of a reservoir for toxins. Because a lot of microbes are very much attracted to different types of toxic residues. Heavy metals and metals in particular tend to create an environment that allows microbes to thrive more and stay more. So I do know that like parasites in particular are attracted to iron, which is why an excessive amount of iron is not good. It's also why if you go back to our anemia of inflammation discussion with Dr. Dave and myself, we talk about how your body has these acute compensatory mechanisms to sequester iron if there's an infection, because otherwise most bacteria and infections feed off of the iron. So if we can compartmentalize the iron, there's less fuel for these microbes and your body compensates in a way. And then there's a reason for that, because a lot of microbes are attracted to metals and lead and mercury and arsenic and iron, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So when we have persistent infections and you're having a hard time maybe getting on the other side of that, or they become recurring, you might actually have to stop and think, yes, is there a dysbiosis? Like if they've had rounds and rounds of antibiotics, you might've thrown off their balance of protective microorganisms and pathogenic microorganisms, which then allowed opportunistic things to thrive more. Absolutely. You have to take that into consideration. That's why a proper health history is a really important part of people's workup, but also do they eat garbage? Are you just adding fuel to the fire? Have you been exposed to heavy metals? Like are there environmental chemicals that you are exposed to? Is your body able to detoxify effectively? Because those are the types of questions you have to ask when you see any kind of microbial burdens on the system. Because if they are attracted to just to say lead or mercury or something, these microorganisms almost kind of create a reservoir for the toxin and almost contain it in a way. And then it can keep the toxin or the heavy metal or the mercury out of the rest of the body, which is really interesting theory to think about and a really interesting way of looking at microbial overgrowths. And it can then reduce the burden on the body. Now, the problem is if you start having this overgrowth of biofilms, we have more pathogenic microbes or opportunistic microbes going stealth. It might allow for the flourishing of yeast. It might allow for the flourishing of fungus and bacteria, or even just these microbes to flourish because somehow they are attracted to the metal in the almost container, or they are attracted to the toxin, toxic residues or chemical residues, and then they almost contain it. But if the original problem, like the inability to purge the chemical residues or the exposure to metals that then have been embedded into the system doesn't get dealt with, then these microorganisms begin to thrive and maybe reach numbers that then become problematic to our health in a different way and start causing secondary symptoms and secondary problems because of their growth, even though it's almost like your body enabled the growth of some of these microbes to help contain other burdens on the system. It's really interesting to think about it this way. And there's also this another theory that is actually supported by various evidence that Candida species specifically can sequester heavy metals at higher rates than others, other types of yeast and microorganisms in the environment. So Candida can tolerate high concentrations of certain heavy metals and even can chemically reduce heavy metals out of their ionic and therefore more oxidative damaging state, and then reduce the damage on the rest of the body by the metal. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because I've had this conversation a few times with some of my patients. Because yes, I do testing and we do these kinds of things. And sometimes patients get very hyper-focused on the what. And sometimes it's easy as even a physician to get trapped on the what, and we stop asking why. And I've been having more of these conversations with my patients about, okay, well, we have to ask why this is such a persistent infection. Why are we not getting the results or the improvements that we would expect at this juncture of your healing process? So we have to think about chemical residues and toxic residues. We have to think about whether or not, this is where I would start maybe using gallbladder flushes to ensure that the pathways of your drainage pathways and your main drainage organs and detoxification organs are not compromised. Also, a lot of funguses and microbes can like plug up your ducts, and then it just becomes these stones and thick and sludgy bile, like a reservoir for these things to breed and grow. So we want to make sure that those ducts are emptied and flowing, and your bile is flowing well, and you're making good quality bile, and you're supporting liver function, which in the chemical soup that is our world is becoming more and more challenging for most people's bodies. That is something to consider. And then if you enable better detoxification, then we can start to maybe get rid of some of these other chemical and toxic burdens and waste products. And then that will allow you to maybe sequester heavy metals and allow them to then be pushed out of the system more effectively. And only then you'll likely be able to manage the microbiome more effectively and the pathogenic or opportunistic microbes and parasites more effectively. We cannot lose sight of the bigger picture when it comes to things like this. And I know that feels overwhelming, and a lot of people want to focus on the what, because it's so much easier to be like, well, I have parasites, so I'm just going to purge the parasites. Yeah, just that helps, but it only gets you so far. You still have to ask, why did these things get allowed to thrive to maybe the exhaustive amounts that they did? And then I also like to bring in the idea of unresolved trauma, unresolved stress, unresolved emotions, and how if people choke it back and push it down and don't deal with these things from a quantum physics perspective and a quantum biology perspective, it can get stuck within our fascia. It can get stuck within our body. And sometimes I look at things like, sometimes we have interactions with people which are very parasitic-like, where some people just take and other people are just givers. And that's a very one-way, almost parasitic-like type of interaction where the parasite just takes from the host and it just dumps its garbage and then the host just has to deal with it. And I talk to people about whether or not they have good boundaries, whether or not they're able to stick up for themselves. Do they just put everybody else's needs above their own? And if there's any kind of unresolved trauma, emotional impacts, things like that. I have had certain patients of mine where when we start to address like yeast or fungal issues, et cetera, there's only be a small handful of them. But I tend to put this out on as a disclaimer for people who struggle more with anxiety and depression now, because it's happened like once or twice with some of my patients, that by working on microbial stuff, it's almost like we start to unearth all this trauma because we started to shake the tree on a physiological level, which then somehow unlocked deep buried trauma and stuff. And one of my patients started having massive anxiety. And so we were like, you need to start working with a therapist and start understanding the root cause of that. But shaking the tree on microbes shook the tree emotionally and on deeper problems. And that may not seem like it makes sense for some people, but when you look at the body from a quantum biology perspective, everything is just frequencies. Everything is just energy and frequencies. And if you have unresolved trauma and emotions and certain belief systems that were indoctrinated into your psyche when you were younger that have a low vibrational frequency, does that allow other things to start to physically inhabit your system? Because now you've created an environment for those kinds of things to thrive. I think it's a fair question. And as we start to understand quantum psychology and quantum biology more, it makes much more sense. And I remember listening to Dr. Brockenshire, who works a lot of physic energetics products. I remember him talking about parasite cleansing several years ago and how he talked about how more often than not, when somebody enters or surmounts a certain set of challenges in their life, or they shift dramatically in a deeper, more profound way, and they have a more profound shift on a emotional, spiritual, subconscious belief system and psychosomatic type of way, that's when we start getting bigger shifts with parasites and bigger purges. Because when you move out of one state of being and you have a dramatic shift energetically, emotionally, spiritually into another state, it allows for the letting go of things physically as well, as your body shifts. And that can allow for deeper purges of pathogens and microbes that inhabited a body that vibrated a different frequency based on the old way your emotions dictated and your thought processes dictated your physical form. So yeah. when it comes to pathogens, when it comes to biofilms, when it comes to parasites, when it comes to yeast, when it comes to fungus, when it comes to mold and stuff, we also have to ask those deeper questions. We also have to ask why, especially if it's a situation that feels difficult to get to the other side on. or becomes chronic and persistent, we have to ask why. We have to ask deeper questions. And it could be detoxification. It could be heavy metals. It could be chemical residues or different kinds of like VOCs or chemical exposures, but it could also be deeper stuff. It could be that unresolved trauma. It could be people who are emotionally and psychologically feeling stuck in their life in a certain way and they don't know how to get out of it. So then the rest of their body ends up being in a holding pattern physically as well. We have to take into account all aspects of the person. And it's not just a matter of like kill, 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 eradicate, eradicate, eradicate. There has to be some balance, and we have to look at the bigger picture, for lack of better wording. Anyways, I've had this conversation with a few of my patients recently that we have to ensure that we're not ignoring the why. And there's just been more and more discussions, educational topics, documentaries, other physicians I look up to keep bringing up these types of things, where it keeps coming up on my radar over the last few years that there could be more to the story as to why we harbor these types of fugitives or pathogens. Are they there for a reason? Because in some level, are they almost helping protect us from a different problem? And I think it's a very interesting way on looking at how the body compensates to try to protect you and keep you alive. And sometimes that compensated state then becomes a secondary problem. But in the initial stages, it was the lesser of the evils. And I just find that it's such an interesting way of looking at things. And I wish the body was less complicated, but unfortunately it's not. And we barely even fully understand how things work in this world. But it's really fascinating, and it's exciting to be in this profession where these types of questions and theories start coming into play, and we start seeing much more of the interplay and the dynamics of how things could be actually operating in our body. And that not everything that we label bad is actually bad. It might actually be in some way protecting us. And it's just really interesting. And I hope you thought that was interesting too. Anyways, just a little something to think on. Hope everyone's having a great day. Bye.